Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It's great to have you worshipping with us. Today, Reverend Stephen Yelland is our preacher as we mark Transfiguration Sunday and the story of Jesus going up to the mountaintop with Peter, John and James, where they watch Jesus' face and clothes become dazzling white. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know, in the ancient view of the world, mountains are the places closest to heaven, where humans are physically closest to God. And while our view of the world may be different today, mountains are still very special places. So will you join me now with our call to worship? Your parts will be on the screen in white. And we're going to start with a verse from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So come, let us worship and bow down. For the Lord is our God. And we are God's people. Listen to God's voice. The Lord is a great God above all others. We will listen and follow God's way. So let us praise God as we open with number 55. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes.
Most blessed,
Let us come before God in prayer. O Holy One, on mountaintops and valley floors, you reveal to us the light of your love. Our heart's desire is to bask in the amazing glory of your divine presence. With each encounter, we are changed and transformed. Help us, O Holy One, to live our lives as a reflection of divine glory. Yet, like the disciple Peter, we are often tempted to keep our experiences of you to ourselves. God of glory and light, forgive us when we are complacent and comfortable with keeping the riches of your love to ourselves. Keep calling us down from our mountains of privilege. Keep expecting more of us as your disciples. Keep reminding us to listen to your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. This week, on Thursday, we got the news that Russia had invaded the Ukraine. So let us pray now, a special prayer for peace in that region. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we pray for the people of the Ukraine and the people of Russia, for their countries and their leaders. We pray for all those who are afraid, that your everlasting arms hold them in this time of great fear. We pray for all those who have the power over life and death, that they will choose for all people life, and life in all its fullness. We pray for those who choose war, that they will remember that you direct your people to turn swords into plowshares and to seek peace. We pray for leaders on the world stage, that they are inspired by the wisdom and courage of Christ. And above all, Lord, today we pray for peace in Ukraine. And we ask this in the name of your blessed Son. Lord, have mercy. Amen. And that prayer was written by the president of our Methodist conference. And our scripture now is going to be read by Linda Rachel, and she is a steward at Lancy Road Methodist Church.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. When Moses went down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments, his face was shining because he had been speaking with the Lord. But he did not know it. Aaron and all the people looked at Moses and saw that his face was shining, and they were afraid to go near him. But Moses called them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the community went to him, and Moses spoke to them. After that, all the people of Israel gathered round him, and Moses gave them all the laws that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking to them, he covered his face with a veil. Whenever Moses went into the tent of the Lord's presence to speak to the Lord, he took the veil off. When he came out, he would tell the people of Israel everything that he had been commanded to say, and they would see that his face was shining. Then he would put the veil back on until the next time he went to speak to the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About a week after he had said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's promise by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. Thanks be to God.
So this morning, the sermon is being recorded from the Methodist Church in Woodbridge. So let me give you a warm welcome to Woodbridge Methodist Church. It's lovely to be sharing in this service with you. Let us pray. Now may the words from my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. Amen. In the hallway of their home, there is a display area with certificates and photos of the happy times my friend have enjoyed as a couple. And in the midst of these photos and certificates, there is a photograph of Ron and myself standing at the summit of Ben Nevis. It was a lovely, warm day in May that year, but Ron and I were wrapped against the cold as we stood there with the snow of the mountain peak all around us. I've never forgotten that experience and the exhilaration that we had of reaching our goal. There is nothing quite like the majesty of hills, Munros and mountains. They fill us with awe and delight. It's no wonder that hills and mountains feature so significantly in the pages of Scripture. In Psalm 121, the prophet, the Hebrew poet, declares, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." It was to the mountaintop that Moses was summoned by God, the great liberator of the Hebrew people from their slavery in Egypt. There on the mountain, to inscribe the laws by which the people would be governed. And the writer of Exodus tells us that when Moses returned from God's presence, his face was radiant. And after the prophet Elijah's great victory over the priests of the idol Baal, in which he restores the Hebrews' faith in Yahweh, Elijah finds himself on a mountain and in the presence of God through the still small voice of calm that comes to him. And then turning to the New Testament, Matthew describes Jesus' great teaching as the Sermon on the Mount. For Jesus is the new lawgiver, though his law of love, grace, and redemption is altogether different from those Mosaic laws of old. And our reading today, as we stand on the cusp of the season of Lent, takes us to that awesome mountain moment of the Lord's radiance shining and eclipsing even the presence of both Moses and Elijah. Indeed, in the life of the church, today is known as Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday. Not only does it come before Lent in the liturgical calendar, but in the narrative of the Gospel, it comes just before Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem for that terrible final confrontation with the Roman and Jewish leaderships. One of the things which so many of us have been deprived of during these days of pandemic is the tender touch or expression of another, either physically or in speech. When life becomes tough and hard and we are hurting, maybe even feeling lost, what a difference it can make to have those uplifting expressions of affirmation. And here in the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, that affirmation is there in abundance. And it needs to be. Jesus is facing his greatest challenge. Moses delivered God's people, and Elijah restored their faith in Yahweh. And here they are with Jesus in this incredible moment. And Jesus' destiny is to liberate and restore. And it's a moment of divine historic support with this patriarch and this prophet of old. Divine historic support as he faces the greatest terrifying test, becoming the scapegoat and conquering all that has ever defeated humankind. But there's more. Peter and James and John had accompanied Jesus to the mountain and up the mountain to join with him in prayer. The disciples were finding it a little bit tough. Drowsiness was overtaking them. Have you ever found yourself speaking without thinking and then wishing the ground would open up and swallow you? I know I have, but I console myself that I'm in great company, because Peter, this foremost of Jesus' friends, was forever putting his foot in it. And here we have another example of Peter's readiness to speak without reflecting. Just as these two giants of Jewish history and faith were taking their leave, Peter abruptly suggests that they build tabernacles on the hilltop, the pinnacle, enshrining the presence of the Hebrew heroes and Jesus forever. In other words, wanting to retain that moment on the mountaintop. But instead of castigation, those who were there hear the divine commanding voice of God, declaring, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Once again, for Jesus, his heavenly Father's affirming voice speaks forth, "This is my Son, my chosen." And this time, God enjoins the disciples to listen. And God asks us, you and me, to listen too, to be receptive to the voice of the Lord as we come together in worship and as we come together, as Jesus did with the disciples, in prayer. And as it was in that moment of prayer that this awesome transfiguration moment and experience came, so prayer must always be at the heart of our lives, yours and mine, as we seek to draw close to the Lord and to respond to that offer of divine love and grace. And that affirmation, of course, was needed. But it was needed in the immediate sense as well. Because no matter how great the mountaintop experiences are, we can't stay there. We can't enshrine that moment and be there always. And so just as Jesus came down from that mountain to face the immediate challenges, so you and I too face challenges in our lives. God's promise to us in Christ is that he will be with us always, even during the tough and hurting times. So my prayer on this Transfiguration Sunday is that you may know the constant embracing presence of the transfigured, crucified, and risen Christ, that you will know the enfolding, affirming love of God and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for being with me in these moments on this Transfiguration Sunday. And God bless you. Amen.
The picture that I chose today to illustrate Stephen's sermon is of Ben Nevis. But at the top of Ben Nevis here, there is not Stephen and his friend, but it is a picture in the snow. And I found it interesting that there's a small cairn near the top of this mountain as well. So thank you, Stephen, for your message, and especially your reminder of the difference that it can make to receive an uplifting expression of affirmation. And I'm sure that we'd all rather stay on the mountain top. But we're called also to the valleys, as our next hymn reminds us. So let's sing number 260, a hymn about the story of transfiguration. Swiftly pass the clouds of glory, heaven's voice and the dazzling light.
Swiftly pass the clouds of glory, heaven's voice, the dazzling light. Moses and Elijah vanish, Christ alone commands the silent, turning from their summits rise, downward toward the shadowed valley, where their Lord has fixed his eyes. Glimpsed and gone the revelation, they shall gain and keep its truth. Not by building on the mountain any shrine or sacred booth, but by following the Saviour through the valley to the cross, and by testing faith's resilience through betrayal, pain and loss. Lord, transfigure our perception with the purest light that shines, and recast our life's intentions to the shape of your designs, till we seek no other glory than what lies past Calvary's hill. And our living, and our dying, and our rising by your will.
Let us pray and bring our concerns now before God. God of the mountaintop and of the valleys, we pray for all those who find themselves living in the valley today, the valley of grief and loss, the valley of broken relationships, the valley of wrong choices and bad decisions, the valley of hunger and want, the valley of violence and warfare, the valley of natural disaster. Great God, Lord of all, may you be found in the valley. May your living presence be felt and known. Equip us as individuals and as the body of Christ to reach out to neighbours near and far in their need. And when in need ourselves, make us open to your presence in others. And this week we especially lift up Queen Elizabeth II, who has caught COVID. We pray for a speedy recovery for her. We give thanks for the news of a spring vaccine booster for those over 75 and those in vulnerable health. And we probably have mixed feelings about the end of the COVID rules for isolation. Fear for some and relief for others. And we pray for the world, for Australia reopening its borders to visitors after being shut for 2 years. And we lift up the people of the Ukraine and the people of Russia, as we did earlier in our service. We pray for their countries and their leaders. We pray for peace. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And in the stillness now, we share with God our personal concerns. And we lift our prayers to you in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I'd like to thank all those who participated in our service today. To Linda Rachel for reading our scripture, Reverend Stephen Yelland for our message, for the Everinghams in Canterbury who sang our first song, and to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for our other music, and Adrian for our video editing. It would be lovely to know that you've been here worshipping with us, so if you're on the Methodistic website, just above this video is a sign-in form for you to type your name and location and push the red button, and we'll know that you've been here. Well, Lent begins in 3 days' time, and I'm excited that this Lent we have a sermon series for you that will run from next Sunday through to Easter Day. And it's called Rising to the Call, Seven Big Questions. And it's a series about the challenges and joys of discipleship. We're going to look at the gospel readings that are set up for Lent, as we ask seven big questions that can be applied to our discipleship in general and to issues of justice, especially climate justice. There's also a Lent study to go along with it. So download the guide at methodistic.org.uk/rising and ask your minister or your church stewards to create a Lenten group, or just find some friends and start a study group yourself. And the study has been put together by local preacher David Wellborn and myself, and we are offering it at Museum Street Methodist Church on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock, beginning this week, March the 2nd. So next week, I'm going to be the preacher as we mark the first Sunday in Lent and Jesus being tempted in the desert. And we're going to look at our first big question for rising to the call. How do you resist the easy option? And now with thankful hearts, I encourage you to offer your time, your treasure and your talent to your local church. And if you're not a part of a local congregation and you'd like to support the Ipswich Methodist Circuit, then we now have a way for you to make a donation to the circuit online at methodistic.org.uk/donate. So let us pray. God of mountaintops and valleys, whether our vision of you is clouded or brilliantly clear, we faithfully add our gifts to those being given all around us. Bless these offerings that they may be transfigured into your presence in the world. Amen. So as we listen for Christ's voice and seek to grow close to him, we're comforted through the knowledge that he is with us through all of our challenges, in the valleys and on the mountains. So let's finish by singing number 610. Best of all is God is with us, in our joy and through our pain.
Best of all is God is with us, God will hold and never fail. Keep that truth when storms are raging, God remains though faith is frail. Best of all is God is with us, life goes on and needs are met. God is strongest in our weakness, love renews, will not forget. Best of all is God is with us, hearts are challenged, strangely warmed. Faith is deepened, courage strengthened, grace received and hope reformed. Best of God is with us in our joy and through our pain, till that final acclamation, life is Christ and death is gain. Best of all is God is with us as we scale eternal heights. Love grows stronger, undiminished. Earth grows dim by heaven's lights.
Come down now from the mountain with mountain-like faith and go into the world transformed and renewed. And as you go, may the holy cloud comfort you, the divine voice encourage you, and the power of the Spirit transform you. And all God's people say, Amen.